a homosexual lifestyle. He said that. I think that is more. It is not what you want to hear. Of course not. It's like me standing here and saying to you, you're not going to get me to stand here after 11 months and saying, now I have an announcement to make. An executive order has come from the president. It is not going to happen now. I can't say that it will never happen. But some of the progress that we have made in just 11 months is so fantastic. I'm pleased with it. I want you to know that in Rochester, New York, a very conservative community, I introduced a human rights document to the city council. It did not come to the floor. I left Rochester to go to Washington just as it was going to be introduced. I want you to know that I made arrangements with some of the people on that city council that I thought would carry on the commitment that I had made. And although it is still not introduced, because they've just had a new election, I have hope that it will be and it'll be passed, and I want you to know that I'm going back to Rochester to speak to it. I mean, these are just progress, okay? It's not everything, but it's progress. You are not going to achieve the ability of standing up in a room and announcing, I am a lesbian, and not be worried about the oppression that will reach you, the discrimination that will reach you after that announcement. And I get very emotional about it because I feel very strongly that you should have that right to love whomever you want. I really do. Yes, the commitment of, yes, he will. Rosalynn Carter will be personally involved in ERA. By personally, I don't mean phone calls. One of the things that we're going to admit is that the president, myself, and others thought that the phone calls from the president to the state legislators would work. And what happened was, every time he called somebody, they'd call a press conference and say, I have told the president he can't intimidate me. You know, these nincompoops that, and the fact of the matter is that was a waste of the president's time, and I got news for you. You have no idea how difficult it was towards the last few months to go in there and give him a list of phone calls to make. Because, very frankly, he knew it wasn't working either, and he said, come up with a better plan. He is very committed to ERA, and so is Rosalynn. The fact that they've asked Judy Carter to coordinate full time on this is very significant. Yes, yes. And there are other people in the White House besides myself who are eager to sit down with him. And whether it be a fireside chat, whether it be included in all of his speeches, if he has any planned, as you know, he was going to go to Europe, so I don't know what the next few months will be in his itinerary, but indeed we have asked him to do this on every occasion that he can. Yes, there is a commitment. Yes.
You've obviously made progress because you've become the target of the media. Are you going to see now they're after you for your campaign expenses and so forth? Congratulations, because that shows you're causing a little anger. How are you
going to
handle it?
I don't have to. I've had almost 450 interviews, all that were positive, and out of that, five bad ones. I don't think that's a very bad record. Very frankly, in the Newsweek article, which I think you are referring to, Newsweek ought to be ashamed of themselves. I'm an assistant to the president, and at no time did they apply a name to any of the statements. I think that's cowardly. I can't even breathe without my name being attached to it, and I think that anybody who wants to criticize me can do so openly, unless they're frightened to, and I think what they're frightened about is their own lack of courage. I don't have that problem. That doesn't really bother me. I made a comment last week. As you know, in that article, they pointed to an incident in New York which involved my sense of humor and one which involved Senator Moynihan. So I started out my speech with, I've had a priest on my knee, the Senate on my chest, and Newsweek on my back. It's been very physical, but not satisfying. Yes. No, I can't. No, I can't. Oh, Beth. She wanted me to speak to 1437, and I can't. Where, Beth? It's the new bill that replaces S1. Do you have any update on it? Beth Abramovich is on the domestic council staff of the White House. Beth, stand up. Yes. You can't speak to it either?
No, but we'll get to get... Who has the question? We'll get together afterwards. I'll get the information.
You do that. I know. The S-1437 has not gotten as much publicity as it should, and there should be a great acknowledgement towards it. Beth, I really think if you can make a call, we might... Is there... Can we have your name? And then all of you this afternoon, where can we have that information so that people will know about... Okay, the information booth downstairs, Beth, that we really ought to get. What she wants is for us to explain to people exactly in a couple of sentences what it is. It is a direct, yes, it is a direct challenge to our civil rights to gather. And it's a direct right. You would be arrested if you lied to a federal officer. If you were employed in an agency and lied to your boss, for instance, you could be arrested for lying. I don't know. I'm sorry I don't have... Do you know who the sponsors are? Okay. Now, when you hear the name Kennedy, you're a little bit surprised when we talk about a bill that takes away civil rights, and I know. So let's explain this. There is two levels that people are coming from on this bill. Some who think it is very dangerous and that Teddy Kennedy really needs to have people... I can't even say that to you. I'm sorry. It is against the law for me to ask you to write to any member of Congress. So I'm telling you right now, I don't want you writing to Teddy Kennedy. You better not, boy. If he gets thousands of letters, I'll find you, whoever you are. And don't you dare mention that it's S-1437. You know, I got a feeling I'm going to be able to take care of prison reform from the inside. It's all right. We'll start a movement. Right.
Right here.
Back there. Yes. Yes. She's asking about battered women. We had a meeting in the White House about battered women, and a very successful one, and a very meaningful one. I did make the commitment for a second meeting. What I was waiting for was to allow that bill to become current in the Congress. And I assume... Marvelous. In the new session of Congress in January, I'd be happy to set our meeting up so that it would be in conjunction with... that. 1:02, what time? 2:30. Okay. I'll be there. Yes.
I understand.
What the president said was accurate. Life is unfair, but that's why government is formed. Government is not in the business of equalizing things so that I have the same amount of wealth as a Nelson Rockefeller. But what government is supposed to do is to make sure that I have the same opportunity to reach those financial heights if I want to. Government is in the business of giving equal opportunity. I think, and you know what I think about that, it is a double standard of justice. It means that I, a middle-class woman, am allowed to take advantage of the law, and yet poor women cannot. I resent that. I resent it very much. What can we do about the president? It'll be, I'm assuming, coming up under reproductive choice during this conference. The president's going to get a report of this conference. He's going to know how you feel about every issue you discuss at this conference. It will be received by the president. I've just been fired by the president. He says I have 8 years to clean out my office. I got news it would take me that long. I don't know what his reaction will be. He's very adamant on that, as you know. He is. Oh, boy, is he adamant on that one. I went in, I talked to him. Beth Abramovitz works for Stu Eisenstadt. He went in and talked to him. A lot of us did. Will this change his mind? I don't know. No, ma'am, I am not willing to combine EEOC with anything. We have one of the best opportunities for using EEOC for the very purposes for which it was formed under Eleanor Holmes Norton, and no one is going to take that opportunity away from her. They say it's impossible, the backlog of cases. They told her that in New York City when she took over the biggest messes I have ever seen in my life. And by the time she left for Washington, D.C., she had brought it into control, and people were getting responses on every single case that had been brought before her. And whenever we get a woman with that kind of quality and that kind of level, they immediately want to do away with it and put it under someone else's umbrella. And I resent it. Okay, we'll do it the other way and give her the other two. All right. Yes. She's asking a question about Hispanics and how they have not had a better opportunity to be employed by this new administration, and she's absolutely right. We also have a dismal record with Native American women, and we also have a record on women. I'm going to tell you, you hear a lot of statistics. You hear percentages. For fella abduction, big trouble. Listen, fella, I knew someday it would come to this. You may be bigger and stronger. You may be articulate and meaningful. You may have done a hell of a lot to get me to where I am in the White House. And I got this to say to you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. If it weren't for people like Bella and Gloria Steinem and the rest, I really mean this sincerely. I've never forgotten a statement made to me as I ran for city council, and they said, look, there's a lot of noise being made out there about running a woman, and so we're going to run a woman, and you may not have a chance to win, but we have to respond to that sensitivity out there. So do I owe Bella, and do I owe Gloria, and do I owe every single one of you that became part of what it was known as the women's movement? You bet I do. You bet I do. And that's why I could do nothing less but stand up when I have to for all of you. Because when I do that, I'm doing it for me too. And I'm doing it for people who are coming up behind us. You, sitting in this room, may be a president of the United States, a U.S. senator, over to the right, maybe. At least Congress. To answer your question, we have not done enough. It is not over. We're still recruiting. The president, there's an executive order that was issued by the president yesterday. It's a memorandum for heads of departments and agencies. And Beth brought it to me. He just issued it. Wasn't it yesterday? Friday. Executive Order 11375 was signed by President Johnson. It was referred to in the speech by Rosalind and others. And what it says is, we have made substantial progress in appointing women to responsible non-career positions. I would like to carry this commitment and effort into the career service as well. And special efforts will be required from all of us to achieve our goal. He has sent this to every head of every department and agency. He has sent it to the executive branch of his own White House staff. And so with this, I tell you, the end is not here. We are going to continue trying to give some additional opportunity to Hispanic women and Native American women and Asian American women who have not been, shall we say, involved in the total of accomplishment that we can boast about right now. We have 45 best women appointed by the president. 60. But it's the kind of positions that have been named. 60. So our percentages as far as the past administrations look dismal. But my God, the positions that these women occupy have never been occupied before. I've said this, and I'm going to say it to you. If every single man in the federal government, and I don't mean this as a demeaning statement to any of you gentlemen who happen to be present, it is not confrontation, it is not attack. It is a fact, and I say it proudly. If every man in our federal government left, we, the women in that federal government of yours, could run not only the United States, but the world. I only say that to you men so you will feel comfortable when it happens. About it. For 200 years, we've given you a chance to screw things up, and you've been successful. And now, we would like to do things right. At least we'd like to do things. I really am pleased to have been here with you this morning. I will be speaking tomorrow morning to the plenary. And I think it'll be very fitting that I probably will be the last speaker of this conference. And I'll tell you why. Because what we have done here this weekend, it's where we have been, where we are, and where are we going. And that report will be coming to the President of the United States and to Congress. And that's what I think I'd like to speak to tomorrow morning at the plenary. To all of us, we're going to be working very late tonight. I think it's been very successful and exciting, regardless of where you have been on the issues. Every issue has been heard. Every issue has had an opportunity to be aired. And I'm just excited about who I am, where I come from, and what we're doing. Thank you very, very much. Thank you.
Session will resume in room 212 with Alexis Herman, director of the Women's Bureau Department of Labor. Please join us in room 212.